Everybody, and welcome back to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy, and I am joined in the studio tonight with a lovely guest co-host. Welcome.
Aww, you're so nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I am lovely.
You are just darling, actually. That's the description I would go with. So, Kels, I'm calling you Kels as if people know you. My Everyone guest co-host be. Today, they should, is Kelsey Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kelsey, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, how much do you want to know? How much time do I have? I'm just joking. Well, I think the most important thing that your listeners should know is I actually just moved down to this area only 5 years ago.
Really?
Yes. I am not a Southwest Michigan alum.
We'll forgive you.
I know. You've really adopted me, actually.
Yes, we have.
I had this goal of moving to California, and the goal is still there, but I actually just bought my house down here in Southwest Michigan.
You're stuck here forever with us now. What's there not to love?
There's not. You're here.
Right. Exactly. And we have the seasons. We have wineries. We have
The lake.
Yep.
I grew up in Hudsonville, which if you ever wanted to go to the lake, you had to plan it and then pray to God that the weather was beautiful.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you're like, okay, Saturday, the third Saturday in July, I'm available. All my friends are available. We're going to make it a thing. It's going to be a beach day. And then you drove 45 minutes to get to the beach. Now I can go to the beach after work.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, where you work is basically right by the beach.
It really is. I could walk. It's a mile away from the beach.
Can we talk about the most exciting thing that's going to be happening at your work soon?
Yes. Bottomless mimosas. Okay, so I guess I should probably go back and continue to introduce myself because
yes,
we really didn't get there. Mm-hmm. So I work at the Inn at Harbor Shores. And what I do there is sales and marketing. And I say that, but it's very broad. So I do sales and marketing for basically everything that's in the building. So that's Plank's Tavern. That's the spa at Harbor Shores. That's the banquet space that's on the second floor. I now oversee the gallery, which is also on the second floor, but is a public gallery. And we're really starting to push the marketing on that. And then the 92 guest rooms that we have. And then the only thing that I don't really do in the building is the 7th and 8th floor, which is real estate. It's condos.
Sure.
But I still sell them because we actually have 4 model units. And so I use those for VIP upgrades and hospitality suites for when we have large clients in-house.
Do it all.
I really do.
No, I didn't see you there the Saturday. Listeners, I did go
a good thing.
I did go to the Inn at Harbor Shores. They have a delicious brunch menu on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. They also have delicious mimosas that go along with that. It was Garth Day. Like,
I saw that and I was liking everything that you posted because I am so jealous that you went.
Garth Brooks at Notre Dame bucket list concert. It rained, it snowed, it sleeted, it hailed, it was windy.
You.
It was amazing.
I know.
The whole thing was amazing. So yeah, we were there. We enjoyed everything you had to offer. The other thing, too, I want to tell our listeners is Kelsey has kind of been with us since the beginning.
Yeah.
She's one of our first listeners. She actually provided the wine for us at one of our episodes.
I did.
Yes. And was also in attendance at our live taping
show
at Lazy Ballerina. So she has kind of been a tribe member for a long time. And we, our paths keep crossing because actually before we came here to the studio today, we had our very first day of the Michigan's Great Southwest
Strategic
Leadership Accelerator Program.
I'm sorry, Kim and Autumn and Leslie and Jerry.
Sorry.
We totally botched that.
It's this leadership thing. So it's for Southwest Michigan.
And we're really great at leadership.
Yeah. And we were nominated to be a part of it. We are very blessed to be a part of it. So it's this group that we actually had our first day. We had a day-long retreat that will continue tomorrow. And it was just a really cool day.
Very eye-opening.
Eye-opening in many ways.
I'm sorry. Aw, yeah. Poor Stacey's contacts.
You guys, you
got
know.
Got dried out.
My listeners know that my life is basically a series of unfortunate events that I have to rise above the adversity. So today, I got there. I was super excited about this class. My eyes started like twitching. I was like, man, like my eyes are real dry and I'm going to be in this room from like 8 o'clock until 5. I can't even see the speaker.
This was like 9 o'clock.
So Kelsey's sitting by me and I'm like, Kels, do you have any eye drops? She's like, no, I don't have any eye drops. And so I went out, I got some, that didn't make it better. So I was so just frustrated that I just took my contacts out. And so I've been blind the entire day. Mm-hmm. Like literally I can't see hardly anything. Yeah. And then, so it's been an interesting day. I did find my way here. Sorry to all of you highway patrol people. I probably should have been driving, but
it's fine.
The show must go on. So
I'm sure they've seen
so
worse.
So we're here.
I mean, drunk drivers, come on.
Yeah. And it was just my eyes. That's it. So, yeah. So anyways, a little bit of fun there. So that was
follow kinda, the color of my shirt.
I've been following Kelsey around all day. She has blonde hair and a green shirt. And I'm like, at least I know if I just follow her, I'll be
very identifiable.
Yes. So it's been a great day. You know, there was a lot of things that we learned, that I'm still kind of trying to process, but the whole idea of like being an active listener and what was the thing that the doctor said this morning about when you're talking with someone about the most grateful, what was he
there
saying?
Were three things that he said. We clearly were in attendance.
We were totally there. The other two things were great, but it was the third. Yeah, courage was the second one. But the third thing he talked about, like when you're speaking with someone, give them the most charitable explanation.
Yes, find the charity in every explanation.
Yes. So I guess think about that. So when you're having a discussion with someone, maybe someone has some shortcomings, or maybe they have an excuse as to why they weren't there or why they showed up late. Try to find that charitable explanation and kind of give them a little bit of grace too. Well, I totally botched it, but that was kind of the gist.
It was the gist of it. But yeah. I think that like I don't know if I want to go so far as to say our generation, because I really hate like generation. Defining things. But I think that like our community now, and I use the word community because I want to be more broad in the sense that like all of United States maybe, can tend to be more negative. And I think that when some things particularly happen, we tend to find the negative in it. And what I loved about what he said was find the charity in it. And whether or not you want to define charity, I think he's basically just saying try to be more compassionate with that person.
Yeah.
Try to understand on their level what they're going through and why they were late. You know, I mean, everybody can come up with the same excuses, you know, for being late. I mean, I was just late to this thing.
Yeah, but good excuse.
Oh, thanks. For the listeners, I had to pee.
There it is.
But, you know, just being a little bit more open to the fact that everybody's got something going on. You don't know what they're going through. Yeah. You may not ever know what they're going through.
Right.
And we're not asking you to.
Right.
What he was saying is just be more compassionate.
Yep.
And understanding.
Yep.
More open to the fact that, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I see you.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it.
Yeah. That was good. That was a much better explanation than I had. So I appreciate.
I'm here to help.
I appreciate that you're here to help me out tonight. So we are drinking some wine.
Yeah.
We are. You know how I always go back to my favorites. So Hickory Creek.
It's my first time drinking Hickory Adam, Creek.
Yes, it's Kelsey's first time. We're actually drinking the Tiger Lily Dry Rosé 2017. It's fantastic. I love a good dry rosé. I was feeling that all summer. So this was, I think this is my last bottle of it at home. So I was a little bit sad about that. But
so a trip to the winery.
It's fantastic. They're sold out. Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, Hickory Creek's super good.
So I love Tiger Lilies.
Mm-hmm.
Lilies are actually my favorite flower.
Oh.
But tiger lilies specifically.
Adam named this after one of his daughters. Yeah.
Is her name Lily or Tiger?
Lily.
Oh. I would name my daughter Tiger.
No, you would.
Which is why I'm not having children.
So it's not just us in the studio tonight. No. We are joined actually by a woman who is running for political office. And I'm excited about this because this is in 24 now episodes, we haven't talked about this subject yet. So I met her at the Women Among Women group, which is something that we've talked about on here multiple times. Lauren of Lazy Ballerina started this program that we've been going to for a year now. And I met her there a couple weeks ago, and she spoke to us and really spoke to me on a different level, because even though she was talking to the group, I just thought, this girl's impressive. Mm-hmm. And if she's running for office, I need to know more about her story, because the positivity that she's putting out there into the world and the promise and the hope that she's putting out there, more people have to hear her. More people have to hear how not only down to earth she is, but how she's taking this whole, this optimistic approach to making real change. And she's doing it at a relatively young age, which is also inspiring. So
very inspiring.
In the studio with us tonight, Miss Pauline Wenzel.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for that great introduction.
Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here. I'm excited to take a little break from the campaign trail.
And you have been working it out there on the campaign trail. That's for sure. You need a break.
Signs are everywhere, and it's amazing. I love that.
They are everywhere. So, Pauline, tell us a little bit about the position that you're running for.
So in Michigan, we have 110 state representatives at the lowest level of the state legislature. And try saying that 10 times fast. Mm-hmm. And so there's 110 of us. We each represent 90,000 constituents. So I'm down here in Southwest Michigan. So I have half of Berrien County. That's about it. It's called the 79th District. So I have that lucky number. I don't know if it's lucky or not, but it's lucky for me.
I like it. 79.
I feel like it's going to be lucky. And we're leading up to, you have a countdown going on. Now, this is going to air, okay, so not this upcoming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. So, and the reason why I'm saying this is because it's going to be very close to Election Day. So I want to make sure that we are giving the correct.
It's going to be Halloween.
It's going to be Halloween. It's going to air on Halloween. So then Election Day will be 6 days after that. Mm-hmm. Is it on the 6th?
It is on the 6th.
Okay. Yeah. So November 6th. So less than a week after, listeners, you are hearing this, that's when you'll need to go to the polls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody vote. That is the most important. I don't care who you vote for. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're in Southwest Michigan, preferably me.
That'd be great.
But nationwide, as long as you vote, that's important.
Yes. So let's talk about that, because I want to start it right from there. I used to teach government, and then before that, in my previous life, I used to work out in D.C., and, a common refrain that I got from a lot of kids back then, or people in their early 20s, was like, I'm not going to go to the polls. It doesn't even matter. One vote doesn't matter. Do you hear that a lot?
I do. I hear that a lot, especially from, I hate to say it, but young people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that, I mean, if you look at the poll numbers, which obviously I'm looking at numbers all the time this time of year, but everybody knows it's older people that vote. The youngest or the youngest age group, so 18 to 35, I think is what they consider, we don't turn out. We don't vote. And I think a lot of people in that generation, and like you said, hate to group people in the generations, but they're just lethargic. I think they've become indifferent. But especially in state politics, every vote does count. I have people win by 10, 15, 20 votes. So it really does matter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially when it's not a presidential election year, turnout's even lower.
Yeah.
So those margins are even smaller. And this is one of the funniest things I ever learned about politics. Back in my former life, again, as a election law specialist for the state of Michigan. So it was our job to go around and run the recounts. And we taught elected officials how to run elections, county clerks, city clerks. Do you know what happens if there's a tie? Which happens a lot in Michigan. Happens at these small local elections where only a couple hundred people show up to vote, so every vote does matter.
No, what
they
happens?
Put both names in a hat.
No way.
And they draw the hat.
And they just, are you kidding me?
Uh-huh. That's what happens.
So, okay.
How else are you going to do it?
So, to be honest, though, then the generation that's saying my vote doesn't count, how can you look them in the eye and say your vote does count?
Yeah.
When, if it comes down to a tie.
Yeah. They pull a name out of the hat. Now, what happens 95% of the time is the person whose name isn't voted says, I demand a recount. And then you have a recount. Now, that's fine too. And then that's when you find out who the winner is usually. But there have been instances, and I've seen it, where the name's pulled out of the hat and the other candidate says, congratulations. I mean, otherwise, how else are you going to decide it? Now, again, typically a recount is called for because in the state of Michigan, you can ask for a recount for basically any reason.
Yes, that's true. It has to be under a certain amount now.
Yeah.
It has to be so close before you can. Otherwise, you have to pay for
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but you can, yeah, you can ask for it if you're able to pay for it. So I always pointed to that to say, man, the local elections, out of all the elections, that's when your vote does count.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, national elections, when these margins are by thousands, mm-hmm. do you have kind of a better, I don't agree with the argument, but do you have a better argument? Yeah. But when it's local, when you can go and vote for a state representative who's actually going to be doing things that yeah. actually matter to you,
right?
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you get out? Because that's when it does matter.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Well, and then, I mean, I don't know if you guys experienced this, but I feel like, again, we're generalizing, if you want to put it that way. But we're also the most apt to give our opinions, but then we don't want to go and vote.
Well, like it's too hard to actually do something. It's much easier yeah. just to criticize, right?
Sit exactly. behind your computer like, oh, yeah. and tweet about it instead of actually
vote on my there. Phone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. No. But too many
variables, right?
Yeah. So talk. Pauline, talk a little bit about why you're running for office.
Well, it's a little bit about what we just talked about. You know, my generation tends to get a bad rap for just sitting behind our computers, complaining, talking about things, but not actually getting out there and doing things. I feel like we're really not involved in our communities and our local government. And it's a tough thing to do. I get every day at the door, somebody says, why on earth would you want to get into this? And honestly, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think, what on earth did I do?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, somebody has to step up. And unfortunately, there are people in politics nationwide that shouldn't be there. And they're there mm-hmm. for the wrong reasons. And if the people with the good reasons don't step up and do something, then who's going to do it? So that was kind of my initial thought. I've always been involved in politics. A little background about me is I grew up in this area. And I grew up on a fruit farm that my great-grandfather started. I actually grew up in the house that he built himself. And so ag is my background. And I love Southwest Michigan. So I lived in the area. I'm the fifth generation to go to my high school. I graduated with 100 people. I knew everybody's first, last, middle name and their parents' name. And I loved it. I had a great high school experience. And the upbringing here is just, the people here are wonderful, as you guys touched on earlier. And we've got the lake and the rivers and all that good stuff. So I did that and graduated and then went on to Michigan State University. And we won't talk about this weekend because that was hurtful.
Yikes.
So sad.
But
yeah. By the time this airs, you'll be a couple of weeks away from
that.
That
it won't
heartbreak.
Be as harmful.
That's
right.
True. That's true. So, and after that, I came back and worked for the North Bering Historical Museum. So I majored in anthropology and food industry management, not politics. And
it's a very interesting combination.
It is.
Side note.
It is. So one of them was one of them was what I was actually interested in, right. which was anthropology, because I mean, people are fascinating,
right?
And
yeah.
you just
study
why people do mm-hmm. what they do. Which I mean, can you get any better than that?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
then food industry management, because my parents said that I had to do something worthwhile. So
we made a deal.
The other side isn't worthwhile.
Yeah. That was passionate, and then do something that would actually pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
So ironically, I've actually used
Sounds
both
like
of my degrees. So the first one was anthropology. I worked at the museum and I absolutely loved it. This area has the best history, and you know, my family being here so long and having so many friends and relatives that live in the area, it was so fun to just learn the history and the names that have been here for generations, and I absolutely loved it. But then I got the travel bug, so that's a little bit of the anthropology, and mm-hmm, I left mm-hmm. and I traveled for a little over a year by myself, went to 58 countries, and
wow.
Loved every single second of it. And I decided to come back. And most people thought, a lot of friends, family, they said, I can't believe you're back here. You of all people we thought would move
Not
on,
come back, yeah.
stay somewhere else. And in all honesty, I almost stayed in Australia. But I made
oh,
it back.
Right.
And I came back because I realized that there's two important things in life. One is family. And there is no place that I'd rather – I want to live and raise my family by my family. I think it's very important. And not everybody is able to do that, which is another reason I ran. But we'll get to that later. But I live across the street from my grandparents, down the street from my sister, a road over from my parents. And I have about 100 cousins that live within yelling distance, it feels like. So it's a little bit of like I love Raymond at my household every single day. People just march in at any time of the day or night. Or
I love it.
And I'm not a morning person, so they like to come in at like 6:30 in the morning on their way to work. But
it sounds like a built-in campaign staff.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm.
It's Very helpful. That's how I have all those yard signs. Mm-hmm. Nice. As half of them are relatives. No, I'm just kidding.
Nothing wrong with that, honey. They vote.
But yes, they do. So, yeah. And then after that, I came home and the election happened. And I was sick of politics and all the...
Election, 2016 election?
This election.
Start, okay.
Oh, sorry, it was coming up. Okay. And a spot opened up. Somebody that was going to run again, Kim Losada, decided to run for Senate. So she moved up and a spot opened. And I hadn't even considered it. I thought about maybe running. She would have been out of office 4 years from now. So it was kind of a shock. But, you know, it's a great time in my life. I'm single and unmarried. So I have a lot of time that I can put into serving the people of this area. And I looked at my competition. And to be honest, I thought, they cannot represent us as well as I could, and I'm going to give this a go. And I didn't know how the people of Southwest Michigan would receive it. To be honest, there was only one woman who's ever held a seat in the 79th district before, and that was Kim Losada. She did it for 2 years, and I am a lot younger than anybody else who's ever held the seat. So I didn't know how they would receive a young woman. But to be honest, the community has rallied behind me, and it has been extremely humbling.
It's been fun to watch, too.
Yeah.
So when you say you're pretty young, and I won't make you reveal what that is, but I do like the idea that should you get elected by the people of the 79th District, you'll be the youngest Republican female serving, correct, in the State House of Michigan?
Yes, that is correct.
That's an exciting thing.
How do you feel about that?
You know, I never think of myself as young. I've always been an old soul, to be honest, as any of my friends. I mean, trivia. I like sitting by the fire drinking old fashions. Bingo is a good one.
You know, knitting.
My favorite TV show is MASH. Aww. So, you know.
So relatable.
I never think of myself really as young. But I love that. I think millennials, because, I don't know, here we are grouping people again, but I am a millennial, and we think differently. We were raised in a different world. Mm-hmm. I don't remember learning how to type. I've known how to type on a computer since I could write, and that's different.
It is different.
And I don't remember, I got a cell phone in fifth grade and was texting by sixth grade. So it's something that, because of the technology and because of our openness to the world, I guess. I mean, I have friends from lots of countries, not just because of the traveling, but because of technology. Because I had, you know, we would get on, what was that chat thing? What would we use? AIM. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And we would talk to people from all over the world.
What was your screen name?
Oh my gosh, mine was Your Face.
Oh my God, I love it.
Your Face. Yeah.
Do you guys know? I was already too old by then. I didn't even use that or have a screen name. I'm not a millennial.
Yeah.
I'm not a millennial.
That's false, you two are.
No, I'm not.
Wow.
Mm-mm. I'm a couple years removed.
Clearly, I need to get to know you way more.
I'm a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
I'm a couple years removed from millennial.
Are you sure you're not? You're on that verge, though.
I'm 37.
You're right on the edge. It depends on what.
You're right on the edge.
What
I identify with Gen X, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I still watch Survivor.
Well, cheers to that.
I still watch Survivor. And they did have a season where they did like Gen Xers versus millennials. And I was like, whenever I saw the millennials, I was like, oh gosh, why don't they just like grow up and get a job? Like, I totally identified with the Gen Xers on that show. I know. And
I'm so old.
I didn't have a screen name.
Why don't they grow up and get a job?
No screen name.
Like, I literally remember being at Grand Valley, and I didn't have a computer. Like, I had to go to the computer lab.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, and that's, like, email was just becoming a thing back then. Like, wow. I grew up when it was dial-up. So, like, the whole, like, if you're part of my generation and you hear that tone of, like, you know, the dial-up tone.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, that was like ingrained. You, so it was like ingrained. So
not on the microphone.
So anyway, I technically, yes, that's my generation, but I'm not a millennial hater. I love the energy of the millennials, and that's what we need. And we need more people like Pauline who are going to take that energy and who are going to look at things differently, and they're going to flip things around, and they're going to ask why, but why is that way? But why are we doing it that? But just so what? That we've always done it. And there's that questioning that comes from millennials, which is why I love that generation, actually.
She's got so much passion. That's what I love about her.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that passion. Where does it come from?
Well, that's a great question. I've always been really an intense or passionate. I appreciate that use of words. Person. Like I said, I was an old soul. I'm very close with my grandparents, and I've always loved history and the area and just people in general. I love finding out what makes people tick and why they do what they do and what makes them do what they do. So I think that's one of the things that has stemmed my started my passion for politics, because sometimes I feel like we're underrepresented down here in Southwest Michigan. They forget about us. I mean, we are the farthest corner, and we have a lot of Chicago people coming up and having second homes, and mm-hmm. we kind of survive on tourism, our wineries and breweries. I mean, that's one of the things that makes it great down here. Mm-hmm. And they think, they're doing fine. We're not Detroit. We're not Grand Rapids. And so we just kind of get forgotten. And I had a passion to protect this area and make sure that we received our fair funding, our fair resources, and that we weren't forgotten about. So that was that passion. I guess that sort of answers the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So how do you take that passion then and create motivation for that? And how do you talk to people about your message to get them? Because you have a short time span when you're knocking on doors mm-hmm. to get that across, that you, yes, sure, you're here asking for their vote, but you want to do it because you want to represent them. How do you get that passion across in a quick...
Before they slam the door in your face.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So knocking doors is tough. Mm-hmm. At this point, I've knocked almost 20,000 doors.
God, every time you say that, I still can't believe it.
It's a lot of crazy. Doors. Actually, that's what I was doing exactly before I came here today. And to be honest, I kind of love it. Hmm. So I hate it, but I love it. And I love it because, well, besides, you know, in the summer I got a nice tan. And you're walking miles and miles a day, so it's, you know, very healthy. But I get to meet people. And some people are mean. Some people are really, really terrible. But most people are great. And a lot of people, they don't want to talk to you for, you know, you're interrupting their life. And they're mad that they had to come answer the door. Or the dog's barking. Or the kid's crying. Or you woke up the kid that was sleeping, which is just always the worst.
Yeah.
I love the people that put little signs on their door that are like, baby sleeping, please don't knock. I'm like,
yes.
All right, awesome. So to all you mothers out there, it's a great thing to do. Especially during political season, because we're knocking like crazy. Uh-huh. But, you know, it always starts with a great smile. You have to welcome, you know, people. And at first everybody's, you know, they open the door a crack. That's my favorite. The people that don't even open the door, they just put down the little slider on the door. They won't even open it for you. And there's like, yeah. And you're like, oh, hi.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Or the people that open their windows and they just yell at you from the window.
What are you selling? I don't want it. Right.
Yeah, that's it. And I always, people think I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I'm like, honestly, do I look like a Jehovah's Witness to you?
No. I've been visited by them and you do not.
I'm like, I just don't understand why people are confused by that. But I get why people get upset, especially in, you know, really populated areas. Their doors are getting knocked all the time.
Sure.
People selling things, kids selling things. Yeah. My favorite was actually today was a good story. A guy answered the door and he goes, my wife thought you were selling something, so she didn't come to the door, because every person that comes to our door selling something, she buys it. And so he's like, so she didn't come to the door because she's like, I'm going to buy something else and I can't come to the door. She's like, I'm so glad that you're just here telling us about you and why you want to run, which gets me back to the original question. And, you know, you're just real with people. I think that is how I connect with mm-hmm. the voter or the person is I have always been kind of a no BS person. Hmm. I'm straightforward, sometimes to a fault. I tell it like it is. And yeah, I think the voters like that. They want a politician that is transparent. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. I'm one of them. I mean, a lot of people that live in this area have been here for generations. And my family has. My last name, Wenzel, it's helped me a bit. There's a lot of us. We are farmers, so they have a lot of kids to work on the farms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have stayed here because it's such a great area. And having that, like, again, back to the family support has been great. But I think it's just being real and listening. People want you to listen. Mm-hmm. And as a representative, so my title will literally be state representative. So to me, people say, what do you want to do in Lansing? And my answer is, what do you want me to do in Lansing? Because I should represent the people. I have 90,000 people that I am representing. They picked me. And I'm very passionate about that. That maybe there's something that I don't think is that important, but a lot of people in my district do. Well, that's what I'm going to take to Lansing. And I think that's how I talk to people at the doors, and that's what I get through to them, and I hope that they appreciate that, and I think that's how I won the primary and how I hope to win the next election.
That is a great answer.
I love
that. That's a great answer. I mean, and it's so simple, right? But we are lacking in this world a lot of times this authenticity and just this genuineness and this willingness to listen. I mean, we talked about that. Gosh, that's what we talked about all day today.
All day.
You know,
it was all about listening.
But it's so easy to get trapped in your own world and to forget that, you know, there's other people. And they're all going through something. And we should be listening, right? So the yes and.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yep.
I kept wanting to interject and say, yes and. Yes and. Yeah. But I didn't have to because you were, it was amazing.
Yeah. We had a, one of our instructors today used to perform in Second City. So we did improv comedy.
Ooh, yeah. By the way, I totally geeked out. When he said Second City, I was like,
yeah, he was pretty cool. He was pretty cool. So, but part of that was just the whole idea of the opportunities that open up when you are a good listener, when you take the time to actually listen to what the other person is saying, and then you have the opportunity to build upon that. So I think that's what you're doing when you're knocking on doors and they're saying, what are you going to do? And you say, what do you want me to do? That opens up the window, and that opens up the opportunity for collaboration. And that's what representation really is.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had anyone kind of like flubber when you say that? Like, because I feel like that's not something that most politicians say. They're not going to be like, well, what do you want me to be passionate about? What are you passionate about? And I will accept those passions. I think that that definitely opens up, which is why I love you, first of all, like, which is why I endorse you everywhere I go. But I guess, have you ever, when you were knocking on all of these doors, was there anyone that was just kind of like, ooh, I wasn't expecting that?
Yeah.
Not so much. Mainly everybody has a complaint.
So, Southwest Michigan. That's true.
It's not really hard. They're like, oh, the insurance or the roads. I mean, that's what people come out
the
of.
The roads,
or
for
the
sure.
education. Yeah. Or, I mean, we've got a whole list of it. And every place has got their problems. And that's something that I'm very aware of. And I'm, you know, here comes my political side. I'm going to work on those issues. And I am.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, people think things are such an easy fix. And they're not. I mean, so many things. For insurance, you know, it's a complicated issue, and I'm going to work as hard as I can on it. But people want quick fixes, and some things are quick fixes. They really are. And there's a lot of issues out there that they're not Republican or Democrat. They're right or wrong. They're morally right or wrong, and they should be an easy yes or no. And I think we overcomplicate things. Mm-hmm, but some things, you know, are roads. We're working on those, and it's getting there. It's not going to be tomorrow. All our roads are going to get done, but, you know, we're getting there. Our potholes are smaller than they usually are. So.
Always a silver lining.
Always a silver lining. Our potholes are smaller, guys. We're getting there.
That's right. That's right. So I would love to hear some of your favorite on-the-road campaign stories. So what comes to mind?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. After knocking so many doors, and some of my volunteers have just been absolutely amazing. How people can do this on their own. I don't think you can. You can't do this on your own. This is not me winning this election. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds cliche, but it's my family. It's my friends. It's my boyfriend. It's everybody who's come behind me to support me, because it is crazy. Nobody in my family's ever been in politics before. And actually, I filed really late. So some people plan on doing this for years ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I filed a couple hours before the deadline, which is insane. Mm-hmm. It's unheard of. Mm-hmm. There's a whole backstory behind that. But so we jumped in, and the whole family just rallied. And I mean, I have my grandparents who are 86 and 88 years old. They live across the street from me, and nobody campaigned harder for me. They were crazy, but in a good way. I mean, out putting out signs and going to events. I have so many events going on that I need to go to, and they would take two, you know, each one of them would go to another event, and I'd go to one, and they'd wear their stickers. And then I have a sister, she's a teacher, music teacher actually, and so she was my, you know, education expert, and she's out knocking doors, and my dad would knock doors every day. He's a CEO of a company, and then after work every day would go knock doors. It really takes everybody, but it was so incredible to not only see my family, and I'm going to have to talk topic here, but I just have to brag on them a little bit.
You should.
To see them get behind me, but not only that, my community. So I live in a tiny town, 2,000 people, Waterville. And there were more voters in this primary than ever before in the history of Waterville. In a primary on a non-presidential election.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Speaks to the work that you did.
Yeah. Well,
and your family and the community. But, absolutely.
And I had so many people, young people especially, come up to me and say, I registered to vote because there's finally somebody that I want to vote for. And that was just, I mean, you just stop. You just, you know, you're busy, you're doing things, and you're like, oh, thank you. And then somebody says that, and you're like, really? And it, I mean, talk about an ego boost. That's huge. Which, see, yeah, yeah. So that is just really encouraging. And that, at first, I didn't know if I was doing the right thing. I mean, if you told me a year ago that probably you were going to be a politician, I would have left. Mm-hmm. that was not my life plan. But sometimes there's other plans for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just get shoved right into it. And honestly, I think I've been preparing my entire life for this. And I think I'm in exactly the place that I should be. And mm-hmm. I feel like I'm doing the right thing. And I have a whole community and movement behind me, and a lot of it, and some of it's the women. People ask me all the time.
Sure.
The pink wave, maybe you've heard mm-hmm. of this. And that's a little bit of it. I think people are excited about a woman, but I think people are excited about somebody who's excited.
Expand on that pink wave. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that.
It's just, there's a lot of women running. Actually, there's more women running this election cycle nationwide than ever before.
Oh my gosh.
And I love that. It's great. I mean, we definitely need more women in politics. There's 100%. No doubt we are way underrepresented for being 50% of the population, and there's only less than 25% of us in politics. Well, mm-hmm. 25% represented. So we need more women. But it's just been – people are excited about somebody who's, like you said before, passionate about what they're doing and getting in it for the right reasons and not for the notoriety or the – whatever it is that people do it
for the self-promotion or mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, and that is a genuineness that shines through. You can't fake it, right? When you were at Women Among Women, my first thought was, good on her, man, coming to this group, got all these women here who are probably politically active because we're the kind of women who, you know, that's just probably active what we do, community. You know, active in yeah. our community. So I was thinking, smart move. Good yeah. move on her, because not only will we be probably receptive to her coming in, but we're going to love that she had the courage to come and do so and to come and talk to us. But then not only that, women within a tribe like to lift each other up. Mm-hmm. And so we're each going to go out and promote her and talk about her. So I was thinking, that a girl. That's smart. And yeah. then you open your mouth. And then I thought, oh, wait, this isn't just a smart political move. She really believes this. Like, she's not just coming here to get our votes. She's coming here because she's creating this movement that, you know, yeah, is my schedule busy? Do I have to go to event? Yes, but I'm going to take the time to do it. I'm going to put the FaceTime there, and I'm going to actually get out there and talk to people, because I think we see a lot of politicians who rely on their staff to do that for them yeah. or rely on radio time or rely on political ads or rely on just kind of big events. Yeah. And here's a person who is knocking on 20,000 doors, who's coming to different events. It's not like we had a ton of women there, you know?
Right.
So was it worth her time? Was there something else maybe that she could have been doing? So all those things kind of ran through my mind of thinking, you know, when she says she's going to represent the people who live here, that's what she's doing. You know,
I can attest to that, because I mean, I feel like I'm pretty, I'm out in the community mm-hmm. a lot, I mm-hmm. would say. I'm at a lot of events. And I see her at every single event that I'm at. Yeah. It's not her staff that I'm running into.
Sure.
Maybe I am running into her staff, but I'm also running into her at the same event because mm-hmm. she's, one, encouraging her staff to go to these events. But two, she's there herself because she cares. And she's passionate about this community, mm-hmm. which is why yeah. I'm a huge advocate.
Yeah. I mean, there's no
I don't know if I said that already.
There's no substitute for boots on the ground, right?
No.
And like going out and actually making connections. I think politics is all about connections, right? And yeah. that could be taken in a negative way, but it could also be taken in a positive way. I mean, you're creating coalitions, and that's what you're doing when yeah, you're 100%. When you're yeah. going out and talking to people. So, but that's not an easy thing to do.
No.
Sure.
No, it's not.
I don't think I'd want to get up every morning and go knock on strangers' doors. And I like talking to people. And there are about 50 other things that I would like to do better than that.
Can I say she's really great with confrontation as well? Because, I mean, obviously, in anywhere you go, you're going to find someone who doesn't agree with you.
Sure.
So it's common, right? Mm-hmm. And you're to be expected. But she really does a phenomenal job when she knocks on the door and they're like, Republican, immediately turned off because mm-hmm. of what she's trying to represent.
Sure.
What she's trying to be passionate
sure.
about.
Sure. Very, very mm-hmm. It's a polarized world right now, right?
So, it is. And yeah. some people,
you it's know. One, like one or the other. Mm-hmm. It's not.
It is. Ground. And that's one of the things I want to do is it's just, you know, like I said before, some issues are right or wrong. And I just wish that, you know, some people that do just hear Republican and they shut the door, that they mm-hmm. would just listen just a little bit. You know, maybe they would like me, and everybody's going to disagree on some things. Mm-hmm. Like you said, nobody's ever going to agree on everything. I know every time I make a vote, 50% of the people are probably not going to like what I'm voting on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's more than that, that mm-hmm. like it, but right. you never know. Right. But yeah, back to some of the, I had a funny door story.
Yes.
Well, first of all, the mosquitoes have been just, horrific the last couple of weeks. I'm like, what?
Summer is over. Get away from me.
I never would have thought that that would have been the dangers of the campaign trail.
Some guy gave me a can of bug spray. And honestly, so I'm not like an all natural person. I love like the oils and things.
Sure.
But I'm like, okay, bug spray. No, I got to go for the D, like yes. the 100% yeah. D, and I'm a camper.
Deep
and,
woods.
Yeah. And so he gave me a natural bug spray. That stuff worked so well. And it smelled great. I was like, okay, this I'm going, I got to find where he got this. Mm-hmm. But the bugs have been terrible. And then we have the weather. So it's so extreme out there. You know, sometimes I'm knocking and this summer has been like, you know, 100 degrees with 200% humidity and I'm just sweating to death. And, you know, I'm at the doors and people have to be looking at me like, what is she doing? I mean, there's like sweat running my eyes. I look like a drowned rat. And I'm like shaking their hand. And they're like, ew, like,
it's clammy. It. Can we just like fist bump instead?
Yeah, they're like, ugh. And then, you know, when they really feel bad for you, when they're like, would you like some water or something? Or, do you need us to call somebody? Like,
honey, we have air conditioning. Do you want to come in for a little bit? Cold towel?
Just sit down. Yeah, and okay. When you're door knocking, there's a rule that, like, we have a rule. Don't go into the house. Not even for danger. I'm not actually worried about my personal safety. To be honest, like that was never a concern for me the entire time I knocked doors. But it's like, if you go in, then you're trapped.
Yeah.
Because we're on a time schedule. I mean, mm-hmm. you're trying to knock a door a minute is the goal.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. And which you have to, you know, 50% of people aren't home.
Sure.
So those are 20 seconds. So you're averaging out. So sometimes you talk to somebody for 4 or 5 minutes.
I was
going to
say, how do you get your passions across in a minute?
Because, then you get some, and half of the people that actually answer don't want to talk to you for more than 1 second. They're like, okay, thanks, bye. Mm-hmm. And they shut the door. Mm-hmm. But then you get the people, you know, that invite you in, and I always want to go in and talk to people because some people are just – they're lonely or they just want to chat with somebody or they really want to get to know you, whatever it is. But I'll tell you what. Sometimes going the extra mile is 1,000% worth it. Mm-hmm. I can tell you 1,000 stories like that. But one of them was a man who – he couldn't hear very well and he couldn't – so he couldn't hear me. So he's like, can you just come in and sit on my couch? I was like, sure. So I sat and I talked with him for probably 30 minutes. And he sat at Big Boy for 3 weeks in Stevensville and passed out my pamphlets telling people to vote for me. He sat at the front door. Because I had no idea he was doing this. Somebody told me later. And he said he was so excited that you came in and talked to him and he was so excited about you. It's things like that that keep us going because it is just – this is exhausting. I've never been so tired in my entire life. I don't have kids, so I'm sure that that would probably be about equal. But I don't understand how people do this with children as well. Props to the women that do that. Because it is full time. I mean, I knock from 10. Because if you knock earlier than that, people get mad. They're in the pajamas still. I've woke up a few people. They don't really like that.
Yeah.
I've had a few shirtless people as well.
Any good shirtless people?
One.
Moving on.
I did have...
Did he invite you into his house? Or she?
No comment. I did not have a pantless person, though, but one of my volunteers did. They had a pantless answer. They're like,
underwear or no underwear?
No underwear.
Oh,
it happens. Or the open robe. The open robe's always a good one.
Oh, that's so fun. It sounds like you work in a hotel.
Yeah, right? You have a few stories about that. But no, you know, that's what it is. It's just taking the time to meet with people. You never know what's going to matter to people. Yeah, some of the events I go to, like you were speaking of earlier, are, I don't know how many people or how receptive people are going to be, but I went to a pancake dinner or breakfast.
That's what I cook my kids for dinner. True story.
Love pancakes for dinner. Pancake breakfast. And I love pancakes. So I was all about it. There was hardly anybody there. I didn't talk to anybody. It was a fundraiser for firefighters. Mm-hmm. 2 months later, a firefighter that was there talked to me and he said, we thought it was so great that you attended this event and all the firefighters are supporting you. And we've talked to all of our other friends and they're supporting you as well because you took the time to come to this event and support us. And you just never know what, you know, and that's what's so humbling about this whole experience for me is I'm an average, whatever, you know, young millennial out there trying to make a difference and that people are excited that I'm attending their events. And it's just, I don't know, it's really incredible.
It's so simple, but
it is.
It just seems like some politicians just can't get it. Well, you know?
It's simple concept, but it's hard to do. right? I mean, it takes time. And it also, you are living in a constant state of putting yourself out there. Like, have you ever, I don't know, been to a leadership accelerator group and have to, it's like icebreakers and putting yourself out there. It's an icebreaker every minute.
Yeah.
She's meeting new people every minute.
And you never know how they're going to react. Yeah. That's the scary part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so many people. You go in and there's so many nice people. I'm a very trusting person. And I think traveling made me that way. People always said,
sure,
oh, be careful when you're traveling. And that always used to make me so mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the world is great. People are good people everywhere I went. I could 58 countries and I can name every country where somebody helped me out out of the kindness of their heart and went out of their way. I mean, honestly, people are good. And I truly believe that. Maybe it makes me naive and maybe hopefully politics never changes me. But I truly always want to see the best in people. So I, when I approach people, I assume that they're going to be nice and receptive. And then when they're not, it's always like, oh, you're screaming at me because of something that I didn't do. You just are really angry about the political world, and I'm so sorry. And that's a federal issue, not a state issue, and I'm going to walk away now.
Yes. Here, sir. Let's talk about federalism.
Yes. Like, I can't do anything to help you with that, but here's who can. And, yeah. And here's
so that's my question. How do you handle that?
Kindness.
Yeah.
You just never engage, which is really, really, really hard. I have a couple stories where I haven't. They give you the end of your days where I am human and it's hot and that last person just yells at you for no reason and you're just like, and we all have those stories, but that's what makes us human, I guess. And you just, you know that it's not towards you. Mm-hmm. I think when people are negative in politics and when they yell at me about things, I'm okay with it when it's something that you, the president did or a congressman did or, you know, something that I can't control. But when it's at me, that's when it is actually very hurtful. When they come at your family or something that's close to you, they didn't sign up for this. Don't go after them. That's that's very unnecessary. And that's unfortunate how our society, how politics has kind of become, especially as of late. And that's what I don't like is the negative, the personal attacks. We're going out and we're as politicians, and I'm talking Democrats, Republicans, everybody, we're all going in trying to serve. And some people are going in with right or wrong reasons, but most people, especially at the, you know, are getting into it to just because they like, they'll love the community and they want to do something for it. And there's no need for the personal attacks, but I guess that's the world and that's what we signed up for.
Sure. And maybe, and it's hard for you to know, but maybe by your reaction of kindness, they shut the door and they think twice and they think, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have reacted that way. So possibly you could be changing their minds and you're not going to know. But when they show up at the polls, they might remember that interaction and vote for you.
I have had people email me and apologize. So it does happen. Yeah. They read up and they say, you know what? I'm so sorry. You know, and like you were talking about earlier, people have things going on in their lives. You don't know. You could have knocked the door and they could have been in the biggest fight of their life. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the kid could have just spilled stuff everywhere and puked on them and whatever else is happening. Oh, and they're just like, because you're just breaking into their life at that moment. And that isn't a reflection of who they are. And that's what I have to remember a lot of times. And you have no idea what they've been through, what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And so that's what keeps me going every day is just knowing and just remembering, you know, I'll hit one bad door. Today it even happened. I had one person that was really rude. And the next person was so nice and so excited and wanted to put out a yard sign. And so you just, it's the little things that, that you got to keep in mind. And then also why you're doing it. Ultimately, every day I just remind myself, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And I make it sound like it's a drag, but to be honest, it's so exciting. I mean, my whole life I've looked for something that I felt fulfilled. I mean, right? That's our ultimate goal always.
Yeah.
And every day I feel like I'm giving 130% of my energy and I could not be doing anything more. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love going to bed just completely exhausted knowing that I'm doing something, hopefully something good for people around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the goal.
That's generalizing, but I think that like the majority of people can't say that. They can't say that they've put in 8,000% of themselves into what they were doing. I mean, I know I can't. I can't say that every day I go into my job.
For yourself. No, I'm kidding.
I know you do, Stacey. We totally all know.
Kidding. I'm totally kidding. God, no.
Yeah.
Most days, if I make dinner, it's a miracle. Let's be honest.
But you're also like everywhere. You have a million things going on, plus you're a mother, and I literally have no idea how you do it. But I mean, as someone like me, where my life is my job, I still can't say that I give myself, like give
8,000% to my job. Yeah. And the fact, I mean, this is your job, and I just, I commend you for it. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Especially since one of the very first stories that she told me was there was a man that's, do you remember this? There's a man that said to her, I'm not voting for you because you're a female. Huh. Can you imagine, like, being told that? No. I mean, I don't even know what state you're in, but if someone would have told me that, I would have. I can't even tell you. I would have gone off.
Sure. So is that a challenge that you think that you face?
Oh, man. You know, at the beginning, I thought for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, no. I don't – maybe they're not saying it to my face. To be honest, who knows all the gossip and drama that's happening behind the scenes?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
I have a great staff. They're fantastic. I'll give them a little shout out right now because I'm sure they're listening and criticizing everything I'm saying. But they're fantastic.
That's what they're there for.
Yes, they are so good. I couldn't ask for better staff members. And so at first I thought the female thing might be a negative. I mean, in this area, we have older men. Older men have always represented us. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go a little historical. All my sister and all my friends will be rolling their eyes right now. So this area is very German. Mm-hmm. Wenzel is a German name. Mm. And women kind of ruled the roost in the German household. And all the German men will agree with that. So growing up with an ag background and a farming community, the women were in charge. And the men will openly say that there. So when I first started kind of getting a feel of how it would be as being a woman in politics and these, you know, 80, 90-year-old, because Germans live forever. I'm named after my great-grandmother, Pauline. She lived to be 99 years old. Nice. So, yes, we live forever. And they were so receptive and so excited. And I think that's because of in the culture that they were brought up in. If that makes sense. I don't mean I'm kind of a tangent and I do that a lot.
No.
But they were just so excited. They didn't even blink an eye. Yeah. I mean, in fact, the older German farmers were probably the first people besides my family to really get behind me.
Yeah.
And that was so encouraging. And they've been supporting women since the beginning. So, you know, for them to have somebody in politics.
It takes the whole family to run a farm, right? I mean, I think that I've found that, again, growing up here too, not with an agricultural background, but knowing a lot of people who come from agricultural backgrounds, farm women are strong women.
Yeah.
Right? And it takes an entire family to run that. So that doesn't surprise me really one bit. Mm-hmm. So we talked about a little bit about your journey to get you here, but I want to fast forward. So it's November 6th, election night. We're predicting the future. You get elected. You go and you serve. What does success in that position look like to you?
That's a tough question, but a good question. Success is not making everybody happy. I know that from the get-go. You know, people always say, why would you go out and get politics? You know, you got to have a tough skin. And you do. And I do. I'm very prepared to know for people to be upset with some of the decisions I make. But I have great advice from people. I love listening to all the advice I can get. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the benefits, actually, of being young and getting into politics is I'm not set in my ways. Mm-hmm. I'm not 60 years old and this is how it is and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm going to go in and I want to listen to all the sides and all the people. And as somebody said, if you can go back to your district and explain yourself and why you voted the way you did, you'll be okay. And I think that's true. But I plan on another bit of advice I received is don't rely on people in Lansing, our capital, where I'll be a couple days of the week. Don't rely on those people for all your answers. Make sure so if it's an issue on farming or funeral homes or whatever it is that comes up, because we pass 5,000 bills go through the state house a year. So that's what I'll be voting on, 5,000 bills. That's a lot. And I'm not the expert on everything and I don't plan to be and I nobody can be.
Sure.
So it is relying on people back here that are experts in that area and getting their opinion and their advice. And if I can do that, and if I can look myself in the mirror every single day, knowing that I voted the way that I should have, that I can still look myself in the mirror and that I got all the advice that I could, that to me is success. And that's what I plan on doing. My grandfather once said that he was very successful in business. And he said that the way he the reason he was successful is he found people who were smarter than him and surrounded himself with them. And he claimed, he goes, I wasn't the expert in everything, but I found the people who were, and I surrounded myself with those people, and they're what made me successful. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing I can do.
Yeah. Strong. That's
amazing.
I love it. That's a great answer. You've been very inspiring tonight, and I think our listeners are going to find that to be the case as well. But before we wrap up, is there anything I didn't ask you, or is there anything that you want listeners to know?
I mean, we covered a lot.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's just that this whole experience of being a woman, being younger, has just been very, very humbling and encouraging. And, you know, I encourage people to put themselves out there. It was a huge leap in my career. I was working as a product development manager and sales rep for a frozen fruit company in Michigan. And I loved it. I did. I traveled 15 states and I sold frozen fruit to grocery stores. Fantastic. But I knew I needed a change. I knew I wanted to do something else. And I loved people and I loved this area. And to me, it was a huge leap, and it was so scary. And I know it sounds so cliche, but if you're thinking about making a change or making a leap, especially for the betterment of you or the community, just do it. There will be people there that help you. I mean, I've met so many great people along the way. My family's rallied behind me. The community's rallied behind me. And I know this is an extreme example because not everybody can go into politics or wants to go into politics, but it's been so fulfilling. And again, I'm not a cliche person, but it is. And November 6th cannot come soon enough. Yes. This is the longest and slowest 2 weeks of my life. Every minute that goes by, yes. I'm just like, oh my gosh, please go faster. And I'll be able to sleep again in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You get no sleep. Not because of things you're doing. You're just, you know, you always psych yourself out a little bit.
And well, there's a lot of adrenaline, I'm sure, running through.
It is. There for sure is. But I guess that's what I would leave people with. If you're thinking about making a change in your life, just go for it. And it hopefully will be worth it. There's a plan for everybody. And if you feel that push, do it.
Yep. Muster up the courage and jump. We talk a lot about that. This is what I love about this podcast is it does not matter what sector, field, background, the guests that I have in here, there are always these common themes that bubble up to the top. And one of them is having the courage to put yourself out there, being a jumper, doing it, and relying on others, a strong team to help you out along the way. So I love that we're kind of wrapping up with that. Where can listeners find out more about you?
So I have a slogan. It's called Win with Wenzel. So my website is www.winwithwenzel.com. My Facebook is the same. So those are that was kind of a fun thing. And yeah, that's it. Facebook and I have an email too, wenzelp@gmail.com. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments, I'm very open. And that's, again, how I think politicians should be as easily accessible. So.
Yes. And Wenzel is spelled W-E-N-D-Z-E-L.
Yes. Okay. Silent D.
Silent D. So Pauline is running for state representative of the 79th district here in our little beloved southwest corner of Michigan. Ooh. It's the best corner in the nation. Now, I know I have listeners from everywhere, including Australia. I love your places, too. Just invite me. I'll come visit. So, and I wanted to thank you, Kelsey.
Oh,
fantastic.
Thanks.
I appreciate having you next to me in the seat. It's been a joy spending my whole day with you and listening to your loud laugh.
Even though you couldn't see me, you could hear me.
Even though I couldn't see you.
So, that cackling in the background is me, if you couldn't tell.
Oh, but I love it. So I appreciate you for joining me this evening as well and for being a listener and a member of my tribe.
Absolutely.
And the tribe continues to grow.
Thank you for inviting me. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
You betcha. So, all right. Until next week. See you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacy Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing. And all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHPod.
And you can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.